On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Well, we have a guest on the show today who's going to join us for the entire program, and he'll be with us in just a second. He's in the bathroom. Here he comes. Mark Schipetta joins us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm great. And yourself?
I feel much better now.
Tommy, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Mark Schipetta, by the way, by virtue of introduction, is a guy.
Did you see that thing online that was good? Yes, I am a guy.
Thank you.
Speaking of bathroom, I saw a thing online, whatever they're called, those memes or memes or...
I don't know what the hell you're talking
about. You know
about.
Those meme-y things, the memes?
Nope.
Those are those like pictures that are on social media.
You
got to
understand, I live in a box, I live in a vacuum, so I don't know anything.
Right. Well, there was a meme, or meme-y, whatever you call it, online that showed a guy sitting on a toilet. And it basically said that if you spend 10 minutes a day pooping,
yes,
like if you work for a company,
yes,
you spend 10 minutes a day pooping, at the end of the year, you get basically a week of vacation. It's 40 equals 40 hours.
So it's rewarded?
No. If you spend 10 minutes a day, if you take a 10-minute poop break a day,
all right,
and add that up over the course of the year, it's the equivalent of
the
a 40-hour week,
okay,
which is like an extra week of vacation.
I see. That's some information that makes really no difference in my life whatsoever. And
I'm just saying.
That's great. So what you're saying is if when you go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet, put suntan lotion on and enjoy it. I don't quite understand.
I'm saying if you work for a company and you feel like you're not getting enough vacation time.
Oh, then don't go to the toilet?
Make sure you go to the toilet once a day for 10 minutes.
Oh,
and that's an extra week of vacation.
You know, when I had a real job, I had an 8-hour job in an office for many, many years. I used to purposely go to the bathroom whether I had to go or not, close the door and sit in there for 10 minutes just to get away from everything. But it wasn't my break. It was just I just went to the bathroom. But it was my quiet time.
Do you bring a newspaper in now, or do you bring an iPhone or an Android phone into the...
I bring nothing with me because I don't have to be on the toilet anymore. I can just go and do something and leave.
Yeah.
Back then, I don't think they had iPhones back in 1910.
I'm on a 2-light cycle.
Yeah, and you look good, too. You lost weight.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
I'm on a 2-light cycle at my office.
2-light cycle? And was there a traffic light outside your window? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Is that how you gauge how long you're in the bathroom? How many times the light...
Well, first of all, I've trained myself to... I get to the office very early, so I'm at the gym at 4:30 in the morning. I get to the office by like 6:30 a.m., and it's a professional building, and no one else gets there until like 9 o'clock.
Why would they?
And every night when everyone leaves, I'm already gone. The maintenance guy cleans the bathrooms.
Uh-oh.
So, it's a shared bathroom. I don't have one right in my office. It's on the first floor of my building, and it's shared. So I know that when I'm going to the bathroom every morning... Because I see blue stuff in the toilet.
Yes.
It makes me feel good being a shared first floor bathroom with the other lawyers and professionals in my building that I'm sitting on a clean toilet. But the bathroom is is also on a timer.
Excuse me?
The bathroom light is on a timer.
So how much time do you have to do something? What? So you walk into the bathroom, you stand in the toilet, and you've only got a certain amount of time for the lights go out?
The lights go out.
Wow.
And it's pitch black.
Wow.
So I have to get up every time with my pants down by my ankles, open the door, and like wiggle my arms to get the motion to go back on.
Wow.
Because I can't, I'm usually about, the lights go off, and I only really need like another 45 seconds or so. But I can't find the toilet or wipe in the dark.
That's intimidating.
Yes.
I could not. Did you ever? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me apologize for this program. But apparently we're going to be talking about things you do in the bathroom. Although that's very important because I know you're not going to talk about this with anybody else. So listen carefully. By the way, Mark Schepeta started this.
Thank you for having
me. He started this. No, actually, I did. I think I started this. I said you were in the bathroom when the show started. It's a very interesting thing, and I don't know if women appreciate what guys go through in the bathroom. Now, you said a couple of things that are quite interesting. If I have any intimidation whatsoever, like there's a crowded bathroom, you see girls, there are urinals lined up inside of a men's bathroom, I literally sometimes can't do anything unless I'm alone in that bathroom. I'm intimidated by sounds, by other people, by time limits, by rushing. I have to imagine myself standing near a stream or a babbling brook in order to achieve my purpose. You're talking to your...
My daughter's texting me.
Oh,
so
what does
I know
she want?
Rude.
Oh, well, no, tell me what's going on.
Is she all right? I found her an apartment to live in.
Okay.
And it's a good, reasonably priced apartment.
Yes.
And it's handicap accessible so her brothers can get
good.
So I don't mean to be rude.
So good. That's nice.
But
will this be her first apartment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
First apartment.
Ooh.
Across the street from a metropolitan police station.
Which was specifically designated by yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
And a friend of mine owns it.
Okay, good. The apartment building?
The unit.
Very good.
The unit itself.
So she's leasing from
friend. She would rent from my friend who owns it.
Very good.
It's only $1,000 a month with utilities.
That's very, very good.
Yes.
You should move in.
And the place, I'm almost considering getting divorced again just because the rents are so great on this apartment.
This revolving door that you're in.
Yeah, but I can't pass up $1,000 a month.
I know. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. You do have to sometimes weigh a good deal with your happiness.
Right.
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum. Well, I wish your daughter well, and I hope she has her own bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't like shared bathrooms. I'm very...
They're so...
Gross.
The only way I'll poop in my office is...
Or in the bathroom.
I actually have one in the office when I got locked out of the bathroom.
You do what you have to do.
You're right. I am a trained surveillance guy. Being a licensed private investigator, I've learned various ways to relieve myself if I'm on stakeouts.
Yeah, sometimes when you're in a stakeout, for those that may not be familiar, is not when he's going out to have a steak. It's he's sitting in the car and he has to do surveillance and watch a certain doorway or something and sit there for hours.
Yeah.
So you have to become creative.
You know what? My sons, as many people know, have heard me on your show many times, are disabled.
Yes.
So I often keep a urinal in my car in case they need to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So we share urinals.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yes.
Is there something manufactured for, I know there is for women, is there something manufactured for men where they can use this device any place, any time? In order to, like, some type of
a catheter?
No, something like with a little bucket, you know, that's a little plastic container.
A diaper?
No. Like you know, like when you go to the doctor and they say, can I have a specimen, please, Mr. Schepeta?
Yes.
It's like that, but it might have a little chute on it so that it can go, like, so if you're sitting in a car, you can do that into a, oh, here we go.
We're talking inventions.
Yeah.
A toilet seat would be amazing. In your front seat?
No. Where's that going to go?
you have it hatch and it goes right out on the ground.
See, I can always, I don't know what we're talking about.
We're going back to the old days where the horse are walking down the street and then it's just a...
Isn't that weird, though? The people used to actually have to leave their homes and go to a shed in the back in order to perform their functions.
Yeah, horses would poop right on the street. Now, they still do, kind of.
But did their owners... tell you, they still
do. But do their owners walk around with, like, really large plastic bags to scoop it in?
Yeah,
like dog owners at the park?
Really large ones. Or, but, you know, if no one's around, you just leave it there. Who's going to notice horse poop?
Do you look to your left and you look to your right when your horse is pooping?
Yeah. Shh, quiet.
No one's going to see him. No,
don't neigh. Don't neigh. Quiet down. Now, you talked about the blue water, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Why is that water blue, and why would that be a cleansiness thing? I guess
I don't care. It just to me it shows that it was clean.
It's like a sign that says I've cleaned this thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Because when you go to a barbershop, and I don't anymore, but when you go to a barbershop, they have that large container of blue water, and they put the combs in.
That still kind of grosses me out.
Well, I guess it's another, it signifies again the blue water syndrome, where if it's blue water, it's clean.
But that blue water gets dirty because there's like eight combs in it.
Well, I think you have to wash the combs, and then I don't know what the blue water does. I guess it's got, maybe it's like you're putting your dentures in a jar overnight. And I guess when you go swimming, if you see that the pool has blue water, but that's not blue water. It's just that the walls are blue and it's clear.
Speaking of blue water, who
was speaking of blue water?
My wife and I were in Mexico a few months back.
That's nice.
And we were, on a beach and the water was blue.
Right.
Right? And,
really? Oh, so actually we're blue.
Like crystal blue, like tropical water, not the stuff in the Northeast.
Right.
So we're sitting there and there's like a ruckus going on. There's like a Mexican gentleman that comes up. And he's talking in Spanish to another guy in Spanish who's talking to another guy in Spanish, and they're all looking in the water.
Right.
And I'm like, and everyone, and then they're like clearing people away and telling people to get out. It was like a little lagoon area, so I wasn't too concerned about it being a shark or anything, but, you know, I had thought it was like maybe some sort of a fish or something, or piranha or whatever, you know, and they're literally for 10 minutes and they're just sitting there talking. And then the guy goes and comes and gets a big, long, you know, pole with the net on it. Like, you skim your pool.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're going to capture a fish. I said to my wife, it was a poop.
Oh,
right?
Oh my God.
It was disgusting.
Those poor kids.
And I'm like, I was just in that water. I'm like, keep your damn kids.
Do you ever think about like what actually happens when people in pools? Can you imagine? Because I got to admit something. When I was like five years old, I'd let it go because in my mind I'd figure, well, it's a big thing. Who's going to?
And then
you see some kind of kid swim by with his mouth open.
Right.
And you go, ugh, I'm sorry about that.
It's like parents let their kids go in the water with their diapers and, you know, I don't know. Then people that swim in lakes, when you can't see your toes.
I know. Oh, there's something wrong with all of that.
Yeah.
It's dirty, yucky.
I have a pool at my home, and I have a hot tub, and I clearly let everyone know that my hot tub, there's no pooping in it.
Well, if your friends have to be told, don't poop in my hot tub, I would change my friends. Hot tubs are fairly disgusting bodies of water. You realize that?
Well, my stepson's fiance, they went down to some like, you know, one of those hotels on down the Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Yeah. They went down destination resort for all those listening on the West Coast.
Right.
They went to one of those hotels that had the jacuzzi, and she came back and got like some kind of bacterial rash all over her.
Yeah, first of all, they're hot by the virtue of the tub name, and that festers whatever is going to be in there. I know they pour tons of chlorine in it,
right?
But I don't think it's enough, and I don't know if I want to be sitting in a tub of chemicals either.
Well, I sit in our hot tub has chemicals in it that doesn't bother me. Occasionally, if I go in,
But it's you. You see, if it's you and your wife and maybe a squirrel,
That
That's okay.
Squirrel but, loves
see,
it.
See, I would never have people over to my house and offer them to get into my hot tub. I would say no. That's like, no, no.
Well, what you're supposed to do before you get into a tub or a pool, which they make you do at the YMCA when my son was taking swimming lessons, is you're supposed to shower off all the secretions on your body.
Yeah, right.
And then you enter the pool.
Yeah, fine. Do you know how many diseases people carry on their bodies and in their little areas? I don't think showering is necessarily going to help. And I know. Does everybody use the same bar of soap? Where's the soap come from in communal showers?
Yeah, and what about showers?
Yeah.
And what about gang showers? Like, who came up with the idea of if you're a jock, you have to, you're in high school and you're going through those puberty years, that you have to shower with a bunch of other guys?
Which is weird because, see, in my mind, and this is totally wrong and I shouldn't be saying this, in my mind, women kind of maybe secretly don't mind touching other women, or they might have a desire to. I, being a heterosexual, never in my life had any type of curiosity or desire to be even like near somebody. So another male.
Yes.
So isn't it the other way around? Why shouldn't there be women communal showers? And for guys, it's like don't even think about it.
Well, there was in that movie Porky's, wasn't there? Remember the guy was spying through the hole?
I guess there was. And I guess
I think that was a sorority house or something.
I don't know.
So that's okay.
You know, I've never been in a girls' locker room, and I don't know if they have partitions between the showers.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Or if they're separate. I have no idea.
I could never go into the Marines or the military for the vast purpose that the toilets are all next to each other with no barrier.
Yeah.
I would be the most constipated Marine on the planet.
No kidding about it. I mean, I would, when I see...
Maybe that's the point, because they want to send them to war in battle.
Get used to it.
Because they're angry and they're backed up in there.
Maybe it makes them more aggressive.
Yeah.
I when I see a veteran, I thank them for their service, certainly in defending this country, but I also thank them for putting up with showering with other men.
Right.
I appreciate that too, and I'm sorry.
It's an awkward thing because I'm trying to think of when I hit puberty, and I think I was starting to hit it right around that age, around ninth grade, when they force showers on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's somewhat intimidating.
My first sexual partner was a cold tile floor, but I don't remember what age that was. I think it was. Second,
a cold tile floor?
Yeah.
I mean, you were like laying on the cold tile floor?
Yeah.
So that in your bedroom?
No, I didn't have tile in my bedroom.
speaking of cold showers,
too much information, actually.
And bodily fluids and private parts.
Which apparently that's where this is all headed.
Yeah, what about Aaron Moran's brother came out and laid into Scott Baio?
Yeah, for those that may not be familiar, Aaron Moran from Happy Days.
Joni,
she passed just a few days ago, and... Scott Baio and everybody was, you know, Ron Howard and Henry Winkler, very, very sad. And
tweeting condolences. Yeah.
And then Scott Baio, who is a loudmouth Republican, by the way, and I think that's kind of an oxymoron, actually said, you know, she's in the place that she wanted to be in, basically insinuating that she wasn't happy in life.
Well, he said if you're gonna drink and do drugs, this is what's gonna happen to you.
I suppose.
And that's what he came out and made a statement. Mm-hmm. And then her husband released information that she back over in November she was waking up and finding blood on her pillow, and her tonsils were bleeding.
Oh.
So
she had medical problems.
So she went to an ENT, and they biopsied her and found out she had some
cancer.
Cancer in her throat. And then it just progressed, and she passed away.
Yeah.
But her brother came out in the media and said, you know, that Scott Baio, you know, you're a moron. If I ever see you, you better run the other way. Yeah. And by the way, my sister told me that when you guys actually were dating, that you had a small winky also.
Well, that's, you know, see, that's fighting back stupidity with stupidity.
Right?
You know,
right?
He's just turning around and being an asshole, too. Scott Baio's a dick. I used to like Scott Baio. I thought he was cool. Now
Charles in Charge.
I thought it was a funny show. I enjoyed that show.
I like that show, Charles
but,
in Charge.
Yeah, but Scott Baio did say in his tweet about Aaron Moran's drinking and drug thing
that he retracted.
Well, he didn't know if that's what killed her. He was just saying she was a very unhappy person.
Well, he's got no career now, but I'm sure he's got money from those days. You know that I took acting lessons from his mother?
Who?
Scott Baio's TV mother.
Really?
On Charles in Charge.
Really?
Yeah, you know who his TV mother was in Charles in Charge?
I don't recall her name.
Her name was, her brother is very famous. Don't know?
No.
Ellen Travolta.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. She used to, when I lived in Los Angeles in the early 90s, she used to, I used to take acting lessons with her.
Yeah.
Very nice woman.
Nice woman.
Yeah.
I had read recently, I sometimes go online. The only reason I go online is to check things out. And I don't know if it's true, but I was watching Leave It to Beaver.
Yes.
And I would just want to see.
See, we just went from pooping to penises to Beaver. All right.
All right, I don't remember the penis.
You just
part.
Want to leave it?
I'm not recalling the penis conversation. To
I
be
said
honest
that
with you.
That guy said Scott Baio had a small winky.
That was your entire conversation about that. That was enough to make it a subject matter. I don't think so.
Today's show is based on anatomy. So tell me about Leave It to Beaver.
There's something online there where you can find out everybody's net worth.
Who is
a celebrity?
Yeah.
So I figured, like, how much? And I thought Frank Bank was still with us.
He passed about a year ago.
Yeah,
he handled everyone on the show's finances. Yes. He was a money guy.
He went into financing, and then his clients were Barbara Billingsley and Jerry Mathers.
Yeah.
And by the way, Frank Bank played Clarence Rutherford. Lumpy.
Clarence Lumpy.
Yeah. So then I figured, well, who else is around here? Everybody else is going south. And I figured I'd take a look at Tony Dow. And
what's his net worth?
$4 million.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did a little producing for a while. I follow him online.
Yeah.
And he seems very happily married. He's been with the same woman forever. And he's a well-known sculptor and artist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, that's right. Ken Osman, who played Eddie, he became a Los Angeles police officer.
Highway Patrol, chips.
For like 14, 15 years. Married to the same woman since the 70s, I believe. Yeah. I don't know what his net worth is. I didn't look that up. I figured he just got.
But is that website accurate, you think?
No. Nothing is.
You know what I mean?
Nothing is. Nothing is.
It's like those.
Nothing is.
Right. How would they know what their net worth is?
You'd have to ask Donald Trump because he knows everything.
Right.
Because he heard it from somebody else.
Because I often do that as well. I'll Google someone's net worth because I'm just curious.
And it's probably wrong.
But it's still in the millions.
Sure.
You know, I mean, but look at someone like, all right, so Aaron Moran, she. Mm-hmm. You know, she did pass of cancer, which has been confirmed in the media.
Right.
But she has had a checkered past of drugs, alcohol, and depression.
Right.
And Scott knew this, but I guess it's not the time to point it out. She passed.
Certainly not.
But she was living in a trailer park.
Yeah.
Just think, put that in perspective. So here's a girl that was the sweetheart of everyone's life. She was America's daughter back in the day, and. You know, had a huge successful run on Happy Days, had a fairly successful run, not that successful with Joni Loves Chachi. And that should have been enough. But a lot of these child actors, you know, their parents handle their estates and they squander all their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've interviewed Jerry Mathers before. I've interviewed him before.
You have quite a few times.
And he's made his wealth thanks to his parents and how they managed his money when he was younger.
He did it for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
When you have these child stars or these celebrities that are famous for one thing, like Adam West, for example, when they try to do other things, it may not work out. They get depressed. They turn to things. It's the celebrities and performers that embrace what their popularity actually was that do well.
Did you do you need to get that?
I'm going to get it. Could you tell people what's your name?
Yes. Ron's going to go get his phone because that's you know, very unprofessional. I was discreetly doing a text message, and you know, he's actually answering
that,
a phone
that
call.
Was my Uncle Bill. I found him in an apartment across the street from a firehouse. So
you were talking to Adam West. Did you watch that documentary
on
him?
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, it's a few years old.
Yeah,
and he struggled for a number of years after that show. Before he actually smartened up and embraced,
that's the deal.
Embraced who made him and what he was.
Yeah,
and has since made a fortune off of a show that ran for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's the smart thing to do. Yeah. I mean, you know, you that becomes your product, and you act accordingly, which is what Jerry Mathers, the Beaver, did.
Do you know that
he embraced what he did?
Do you know a Beaver factoid?
What is that?
Do you know that they did more episodes of the new Leave It to Beaver than they did the original Leave It to Beaver?
I did not know that.
The one that aired in the 80s on TBS?
The one that very few people watched.
Right. Yes. They did more episodes of that one in the 80s than the original one.
Very interesting.
I think they got to put their egos aside. I think Adam West, his ego got in the way. He was a good-looking guy, wanted to be an A-list Hollywood, actor.
They all want to move on to the next, but it doesn't always
He was at a happen. Local mall recently where we broadcast in the state of Massachusetts, and there's a local mall that he came to. I think he tours still all over the country. He's got to be 83.
Right.
Looks like he's 63. Mm-hmm. And he tours with Burt Ward. Yeah. And they've remained like best friends throughout their whole life. And they just sit there and answer questions. And, you know.
Not a bad living.
I mean, this shit's not going to last forever. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is all dying, unfortunately. Mm. And 20 years from now, when, you know, I'm in my late 60s, you know, we're not going to have this pleasure anymore of all these wonderful people who put such a stamp on television and television history. I laid in bed. There was nothing on the other night to watch. My wife and I couldn't find anything. And, you know, I subscribe to Netflix, but I drive my wife crazy. I stay away from it because she's like, you know, you want to watch a movie? I'm like, let's try Netflix. She goes, I'm going to go do some stuff for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you find something. Because I just sit there and I go, click, click, click. And I just... Scroll, and I could never wrap my brain around something that I actually want to watch ever. There's like thousands of shows on there and thousands of movies, and I can't ever just like settle on something. So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going back to Cozy or MeTV, and I watched like four episodes of Three's Company, and I was laughing my ass off. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you were big into that show.
I was, and very frequently when you revisit these shows decades later, they are new shows for the most part because either you don't remember them because you're on Lipitor or you didn't see them.
Right.
But you really appreciate the show, I think, more than you did when it was originally on. Now it's even funnier.
Yeah.
Now it's even more entertaining, and that's nice. You know, every generation goes through that. I remember my parents saying that, I miss the crooners. I miss the singers of our time and that music. And I used to say, you're crazy.
I'm Saved by the Bell. Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's like my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's all generational.
What did you know what my big regret in life is? Mm-hmm. And I regretted this. I regretted this the second I saw it in the news. I regretted that I never got to see Don Rickles live.
Oh, man, I had, yeah.
Yeah, when he passed, I'm like, shoot. Because I saw he was touring like a year ago, and I said, next time I see him around, I don't care if he's 89, 90, I want to go see him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I saw him when I was quite young, actually. I remember it was my first date with this girl, and I was living in New York City, and he was at the Copacabana, which is a nightclub.
Yeah, and I remember.
It wasn't a real big nightclub. It only sat like maybe 150 people.
Barry sang about it.
Yeah. Who's gay, by the way?
Yes.
No one ever knew that.
Thank you for coming out at 73 years old.
What an odd guest. And Elton John, apparently. And Liberace. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, holy crap.
Can you believe that?
So you saw him at the Copacabana?
Yeah, he was. But he was young, and he was very sharp and very fast. Boom, boom. You were laughing at something, and he was already on the next thing. He was amazing. But a lot of people didn't like him because he was so incredibly offensive.
Okay, but to everyone.
To everybody. Same as Joan Rivers. I mean, she kind of took that over in the female vein.
And then Lisa Lampanelli stole it from all of them.
And it's very... But it was difficult for the women to do it
until
the term bitchy became popular. That was just a man's thing back then. But yeah, these people...
But you don't like those type of comics. I'm surprised.
I don't. I found... Yeah. I just
there's something
really
about
funny.
Him. Yeah. When you got him on this... When you got him on Carson, and he was on this... There's an episode of Carson that he's on with Frank Sinatra and Buddy Hackett.
Yes, I remember that.
I mean... Yeah. But Buddy Hackett, that guy's like an anomaly. Like that guy was... I mean, he's been gone a while, right? He's in one of my favorite movies of all time, Buddy Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know if you'd like it, but I still watch it maybe once a year. It's a mad world. Do you like that movie?
No, I didn't grade it.
Everyone's in it. Yeah, even the Three Stooges are in it.
That was the idea of it. Yeah.
And if you watch it today, and you watch it on high def, it looks like it was made today. The color and how they—I don't know if they just re-edited it.
No, the technology was pretty decent back then. They had Cinerama
back then.
That
was like in the 60s, though, 62, 63. I don't know
if you're old enough, but we used to go to a movie theater, and this movie screen called Cinerama would actually wrap around half of the theater.
No,
so it wasn't just on the screen. It would wrap around up to like maybe the 10th row.
Yeah.
And
really?
Yes, and they don't do Cinerama anymore. Wow. It was a special lens and a special projector, and that's why it was just too expensive. But... I don't remember if you remember the film 2001 The Space Odyssey.
Yes.
That was shot in Cinerama.
Huh.
And I remember getting high. Sorry, kids, but I did every once in a while.
Yeah.
And sitting in the second row of the theater, the screen would actually wrap around behind where I was sitting.
And you were like,
when
whoa.
I was when it was in space,
I
was in space, man. Like that virtual reality could not have been topped. And he didn't have to wear any special stuff.
See, we did that in the 80s.
Yeah.
When I, sorry kids, tried weed.
Yeah.
But we did that. Totally weird and bizarre, but a lot of people did it.
Mm.
But we would get high and go watch the Pee Wee Herman movie.
Yes. Yes.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of it?
There was no point. Because it was just so... you know what I liked about Pee Wee Herman, which I don't appreciate anymore, but when you're a little bit high, sorry kids, don't do this, by the way, don't ever get high, seriously don't, but there's so much going on in a Pee Wee Herman film. There's stuff like, especially in the Playhouse, there'd be like stuff on the walls going left and right at the same time. It was like a mind fest.
Right. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
You know, every time you invite me on your show, I'm like, you know, I'm going to come in. I'm going to be serious.
Yeah, that's what happens.
We're going to talk about business. We're going to talk politics. We're going to talk news.
I know.
And it ends up becoming old TV.
Immediately got into the toilet stuff.
And toilet humor and body parts.
Not a
and
good thing. It's bad. It's bad for you, by the way.
What's going on for the summer? Any plans?
I'm going to probably sweat. Get a little warm, and that's probably it. I'm going to a few concerts.
Yes.
Apparently. And nothing. I try not to plan anything.
Nothing?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
I went to a concert last week, but nobody you would like.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, 80s stuff.
Oh, ugh.
See, you and I connect as friends because I'm a throwback, and I like stuff from, you know, you're only a decade older than me.
Yeah.
But... I love things from your decade.
Yeah. And I don't like anything from yours.
No. Yeah. And that's unfair in a friendship.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if I'm going to like your decade, I think you should like my decade.
Well, tough. You're going to live with it.
Yeah. So my decade is the 80s.
Yeah.
So I went and saw Def Leppard.
I like Def Leppard.
And,
I have no problem with them.
Great concert.
Mm-hmm.
And Poison. You know that guy with the Bret Michaels?
Yes.
Was on like a Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah,
and,
I remember, yeah.
And it was at Mohegan Sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great... Have you gone there to see a show?
I have not. I've been to the other stupid place, but
I
have not been to the Mohegan.
I don't like Foxwood. Mohegan Sun is a really cool venue.
Uh-huh.
You know, you rent a room.
Yeah.
I'd much rather drive an hour and a half down to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut and then rent a room and then walk through a casino right into the arena, which is connected there, and not have to sit.
Everything's connected to a casino everywhere.
Right. And not have to sit in traffic for hours on the way home.
I know.
You know, and then just, you know, if you have a couple of drinks, you're safe. You go back to your room.
Just about the same amount of time from that other casino
Foxwoods, resort. Yeah, Foxwoods is a little older.
Oh, it's quite a bit older.
But a lot of good acts come from New York City.
They go to Foxwoods.
Into Foxwoods and Mohegan.
Yeah, I guess so.
They both go there.
Anyway.
I'm going to tell you off the
air. For those that aren't familiar, that's in Connecticut, on the Connecticut Rhode Island
border. I have a television show idea that I can't tell you
right on the air. No, don't do it on the air.
But I want to tell you off the air.
Please. And someone took your idea for charcoal underpants.
Yes.
Can we talk about that for just a second?
Sure.
Mark came on the show about 2 years ago, maybe three, maybe five.
May have been six or seven.
I have no idea. And he said, Ron, I got this great idea. And he says, charcoal underpants. And I said, excuse me, is this for like making hamburgers? He said, no. He says, if you fart, it filters your fart through your pants. And I said, well, that's a little ridiculous. Looked it up. And at first, I really found nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, magically, now you can buy these things.
Yeah.
And there's a few companies that make these charcoal filtered underpants. And I'm wondering how that happened. I'm not boasting the power of this program, but I don't know.
You know what? Why not? Now that we're thinking of charcoal scented underwear, this just dawned on me last night.
Actually, may I just say yours went even further. It wasn't just charcoal.
Yeah, it was like potpourri. And
yeah,
potpourri. Like you could use a different odor whenever you want. You could put a little packet in there, and if you
The charcoal thing works because it's undetectable.
Yes,
when you start when all of a sudden you smell roses, you go, "Would you fart?" So, like, just the immediate release of an aroma, I thought was a little too indicative
that
something happened.
I was even thinking, like, you know, like even like hamburger smell, like barbecue smell.
Yeah, like bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
Bacon.
Oh, I'll tell you about that in a second also.
Okay.
But speaking of bacon.
Right,
but
I don't want to get you off track.
So I sit on the sofa at night, like many people around the globe do, with their animal.
Yeah.
And animals tend to rip the worst farts. When they're relaxed and they're sleeping on your sofa.
With no regard.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why not put a pair of those pants, like doggy style? Not literally.
Oh, I got this. I understand what you're saying.
Like a doggy style pant.
Right.
With.
There's another idea, right? Actually.
Oh, God. You're going to see this now. Instead of the as seen on TV section, you're going to go into your local drugstore and see as seen on New England Broadcasting section, as heard. But you were mentioning bacon earlier.
Yeah.
My birthday was on Easter Sunday this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
For whatever reason.
Thank you for the wishes.
Yeah.
So my kids got me a gift and they brought it over to my house, and I had to like open it immediately. And I'm like, "Why do I have to open it immediately? Is it food?"
Uh-huh.
Well, it happened to be food.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why.
And they caught me. What the hell's the name of the company? They got me a bunch of beef.
A bunch of beef.
The
Omaha steaks?
Omaha.
Uh-huh.
They ordered me like $300 worth of Omaha products.
Where
my
did you
kids.
Get this money from?
Hello. Right?
Three
out of the four of my children, they're in their 20s.
Wow.
They chipped in and they bought me the Omaha products.
Nice.
So it came in like in a freeze thing. And
So
the bacon, filet mignon, hamburgers, hot dogs, you know, a few different variety of steaks.
Right.
And let me tell you, it was delicious.
It's tasty stuff.
You know, they're not a sponsor on your show, but
no,
I'm just saying that it still amazes me how bacon can come from Omaha.
And well, I think they have a few pigs over there. I don't know. It's probably what the bacon.
But just how you can like what? if someone's across the country, and they're say you originate from Massachusetts, and you live in you're stationed in the military out in San Diego, California,
certainly,
or something, and you miss your favorite pizza.
Yes.
You can FedEx, and they're still hot when they get there. How the hell does that happen?
I'm not sure it's still hot when it gets there. I don't know that part of it. They can flash freeze things and ship them in frozen materials. I'm not sure it would arrive hot in San Diego.
Is it a time capsule? Is it the same pizza delivery boy?
Yeah. It's like the Fly movie. Right. They put it in a thing and it arrives. By the way, speaking... never mind. On yesterday's show, I had found a flyer from Domino's.
Yeah.
And they have an app now where you can track your pizza.
Oh, God.
So you order the pizza, and you can just look at the app like 10 minutes later and say, all right, we're putting the cheese on. It's in the oven.
Well, it's because they work with the government, and that app is actually in the sauce.
That's true. They're sensors.
So when you eat that,
right,
you're now infected.
Now you can track the pizza all the way out your, right, your charcoal underpants.
I go to this place every Tuesday, and I eat a salad at this place, and it's my favorite it's my favorite salad that I get in the city that I work in.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this salad, as soon as I eat it, within 30 minutes, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like it does something to me. It's like a diuretic.
I understand.
So I was going to ask him if I could start getting it for like half price.
As you get older, it's helpful.
Because
because it doesn't last that long.
Because it doesn't, yeah.
So good food should be based on how long it stays in your body.
Yes.
Well, then you should be paying a lot for cheese. You should be paying a lot for the cheese.
I had a board meeting the other night for.
I was pretty bored with it too.
I had a board meeting the other night for my charity for muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, we want to talk about that in just a second.
Yes.
But go on.
And, you know, so I have this influential cast of characters on my board. People, you know, money people, law enforcement, political officials, whatever. But my daughter is an officer on the board, and she's the president of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 23, and she's, you know, I went to school for this. And we went to a local pizza establishment, and it was an awkward situation for me because I'm two different people. You know, when I'm at the gym in the morning, if my daughter ever heard me, she'd be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm sitting there and she's talking and we're discussing things and we're voting on our bylaws, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, my kid is, you know, is such an amazing young woman and so smart, and I'm just sitting here as her dad wandering off into space thinking, does she realize how immature her father is? And that I have to be a certain person now in a professional setting
with
her.
That's very true.
And go more into that dad mode as opposed to talking about poop or, you know.
I was like that with my parents. I was two different people. My friends, was loose and crazy.
Yeah.
My parents, I could have been wearing an ascot and a smoking jacket.
Right.
I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about the foundation.
Yes.
You started at 501c3.
501c3 foundation, and it's duly named the Wheelchair Strong Foundation.
And because your twin sons have Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. They are in wheelchairs, mm-hmm. and they're probably two of the strongest kids I know as far as mentally.
Yeah. And you have, because you're an entertainer, well, Mark's a private eye, by the way, a private investigator. He has two eyes that are very private to him, but he uses them professionally in order to help people. Anyway, and as because you dabble in the entertainment field so much, you decided to get into promotion, and he's done many things in the entertainment field to promote the awareness of the disease as well. So now you've got the 503c3 as a designated charity.
Yeah.
And he's putting on events and shows that gather crowds and raise money. And this is like talent number 72 for Mark.
Yeah, you know, there's so many great causes and organizations out there,
mm-hmm.
and so many people that ask for donations and handouts. And I don't like asking for handouts or taking people's money without giving them something back. Yeah. Now, for a lot of people, you know, them knowing that the money is going to go to the cause, whatever it may be, is enough. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of twofold with me. You know, the money does go to various advocacy and research that we raise for muscular dystrophy, but I also like to give something back to the people, and that's through entertainment and through laughter. You know, there's a lot of organizations that, you know, their mission statement is to go out there, depress everyone, pull on their heartstrings so they open their wallets up. You know, and I don't attend a lot of events for other organizations that run events for the disease my kids have because, quite frankly, I live it every day and I don't need to sit there and hear people talk about, you know, how our sons are dying.
Right.
It just depresses me, sure. You know. Yeah. It's hard enough. So me personally, when I started this charity, I said, look, you know, there's none of that, you know, sappy pulling the heartstrings stuff. It's going to be, yeah, these are my kids. They live life. You know, they're living. They're not dying. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put on a show. And if you like that show, then I want you to donate. So that's kind of our mission statement with Wheelchair Strong.
So tell me about the upcoming show coming up in the fall, is it?
Oh, yes, the show. Yes. A comedy show, September 29th, Comedy for a Cause 2 in a little town called Plymouth, Massachusetts. Some of you around the world, I'm sure, have heard of it.
That's the place with the pilgrims, isn't it?
It is, in the rock.
Right.
And it is one of the best areas, I think, in the country.
It is lovely there.
You know, and sometimes my wife, you know, we don't live too far from the downtown waterfront. And sometimes we'll go there. And we'll just sit there and we'll look and we'll like, we take this shit for granted. Like, you know, some people that are stuck in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, they only see
literally cattle.
Yeah. And they don't look around. I mean, we look around and, you know, granted that might be beautiful to them, but looking around and seeing the ocean and, I mean, we're very lucky to have that. And it's a lot of great restaurants, a lot of people. And I'm noticing a lot of tourists still come to Plymouth from all over
the world.
It's insane. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be downtown
Plymouth. Whether it's historically accurate or not, I'm not sure, but that's besides the
point. Right. Yeah, so it's in downtown Plymouth, right? Literally, you know, a half a block from the Rock.
Yep.
And we got a great cast of comedians. And hosting the show, speaking of old TV earlier, is Jimmy J.J. Walker, who is going to be coming in to host for me. So hopefully the show will be dynamite.
Yeah. Which you can't say,
right? Isn't that weird? Yeah. Like that's what I was told by his handlers, but that's not going
to
happen.
You got to wonder if that's because he chooses not to, or because that is actually owned by the Norman Lear people. I don't know.
Do you watch that documentary on Norman Lear?
Yes.
Did you? It's a good documentary.
They're all good.
I didn't realize how anti. Anti is not the word. I didn't realize how liberal Carol O'Connor was. Right. Like, he fought every script in every show. Like, he was a malcontent during the film, during the taping of of those shows, and you never would have guessed it, man.
That's probably very difficult for him because that was one of the first shows that dealt with
everything.
Well, with racial situations through humor, though, to that extent.
Oh, yeah.
So it must have been quite confusing at that time. To do that, I was very uncomfortable with a lot of the episodes myself because they seemed like, why am I laughing at something that is so horrendous here? But it took time.
You know what my most uncomfortable viewing moment was? An embarrassing moment for me was, I was actually talking about it today with a buddy of mine. He's a black gentleman at the gym. And my wife had never seen the movie 42. Mm-hmm. You've seen the movie?
I don't recall.
Watch it. I know you're not a sports guy.
No, I'm not.
But it's more about it's not about it's Jackie Robinson's story.
Oh, all right.
Whatever. But you know, so I took my kids to see that movie maybe 3-4 years ago when it came out in the theater. In the language and what they had to endure back then.
Yeah,
like I was sitting there watching that, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, I was ashamed. Be a white man,
I know.
You know, for the shit that the people were saying, but
I don't know.
It just bothered me. That was an uncomfortable viewing moment for me.
Good. Well, you should be uncomfortable.
Well, kind of like you with like watching Schindler's List, right?
I don't know. I never saw Schindler's List.
I didn't either.
Because I thought, see, with me, I've got rules. Got rules, and I just, I know, there's a wasp.
There's something
in here.
Buzzing around the studio. There's a wasp. Am I going to get bit?
No, it doesn't like you.
I didn't
you.
Bring my epinephrine.
I don't know.
All right, go ahead. Speaking of wasp.
Yeah. Good one. Very, very good.
Very clever.
Wow, you're on top of it today. When I go to the movies, I guess I want to be educated,
yes.
and I certainly want to laugh, and I certainly want to be entertained, but I do not want to be scolded.
Right.
And I don't want to see things that were horrendously horrible.
Yeah.
I know the Holocaust existed.
Yeah.
I wasn't there personally. I have relatives that were. I don't need to see it on the big screen.
Is that the same for war movies?
Yes, it is the same.
That movie was out last year, was it like Hacksaw Ridge or something?
Yeah, I do not want to see soldiers in peril. I don't want to see rape movies. I know that they exist.
So what do you want to see?
Stuff that entertains me, informs me, or makes me laugh.
So
I don't like
fiction,
sorrow.
Nonfiction.
Doesn't matter. But I don't want to see. I like documentaries.
I love documentaries.
But I don't want to see people in peril. That's a recreation of something. I don't like many horror films. I don't want to see people being slashed. Excuse me, but I don't want to see guts falling out of somebody's flesh. Doesn't entertain me.
So I went through a phase when I was younger.
Yeah.
Where I liked horror movies, but now I can't. It's almost like when I was younger, I could go on a roller coaster, and now if I go on one, I throw up.
You know, there was a chain of movies called the Saw movies. I can tell you a story about that. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you can.
Yes.
But I will not. I saw like half of the first one, and I said to myself, literally, what the hell am I watching here? What am I? Why am I sitting in a chair watching people being mutilated as graphic as possible?
Yeah.
I know it's just a movie, but why am I doing this?
Yeah,
and I got mad at myself and I said, never again, never again.
My wife takes care of the lead actor, his mother.
Right.
Oh. He's got Massachusetts ties. Mm-hmm. His mother's 95 years old. Oh. He's at a private nursing home that my wife works at. So he's always flying in from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
She says he's kind of a interesting guy.
Right. Well, he's a weird looking guy.
Yeah.
They
call him the
sure.
Saw guy.
That's always pleasant.
All right, I got to pee really bad.
And I got to end the show really
bad. Can you
bad.
See me doing the tinkle dance on the
yes,
seat?
Yes, you're moving your legs faster than a cricket.
Yes, I came in doing number two. Now I'm going out doing number one.
Well, if there was a number three, you'd be doing that.
Yeah.
He's Mark Schipetta. Very quickly, website?
you can go to...
Really quickly.
onthemarkpi.com. The charity site's still being built, so next time I'm on the show.
Onthemarkpi.com.
All right, see you. I got to go.
There he goes. Bye.